Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, don't provoke a spirit. You might not like what happens next.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. And you can, of course, share your real ghost stories with us at realghoststoriesonline.com as well. If you want to get access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes and all that, check it out on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the show. Have you ever provoked a spirit? Have you ever done it? I mean, I know you go in and investigate and things like that, but there's a difference between investigating and provoking. And I know a lot of people are very much anti-provoking, but what's your take on that?
I mean, I think any investigator, if they're being honest, probably has done a little bit of that, and more so maybe early in my investigative career, if you want to say that. Didn't really know much about it at that point. Was just kind of following the lead of what was going on TV and stuff. And I think for me, what happened was when I lost some family members, then it was like, well, if anybody ever investigates my childhood home and they run across, you know, family members that have passed, the last thing I want them to do is be assholes. So like I try my best not to provoke, if at all possible, for that reason alone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When you were saying, talking about your childhood home, something that came to my mind, and me and Harper were talking about this the other day before we moved out of the farm. There was a place that Harper loves, small little cubbies and places to hang out. She's always been like that, but she especially liked that around the time when I got divorced and after her mom did all those things. She was really, you know, she was healing and needed some time to kind of have herself and figure out what was going on. So she always liked this cubby. It's kind of her little safe spot. And we were cleaning it out the other day, and it was just funny, like, she's tried to sit in it and fit in it today, and it's like, she's so much larger, she doesn't fit.
Right.
But I said, you know, it's weird. I said, you know, you had a lot of memories in that closet. And she was kind of getting emotional, kind of saying goodbye to it. And I said, you know, that closet was very much, it was a safe space for you. You had a lot of happy memories down there, but I think you probably had a lot of sad ones too. It's like, yeah, you know, I did a lot of crying down there and trying to, you know, figure things out. And just that little condensed space, you know, if you believe that energy can get stuck in a place or be absorbed into a spot, that little closet is going to be haunted as shit.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that.
And even when she's alive, I don't think you need to be dead for that to actually happen. Now, I don't think she's going to like appear to somebody and consciously interact, but it would not surprise me. Hi, new house owners, by the way, if you're listening and trying to figure out who I am, as I talk about what goes on in that house. And it was really a great house, but you know, it was a place in that room where there was a lot of emotions. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, those closet doors open on their own, or just, you know, just stuff just from the energy that was expelled there in that period of time in her life.
Yeah, or feeling emotions for no reason in that area or something like that.
Yeah. I could really see that. I didn't realize just how much trauma I had in that house until we were like literally leaving. Because I'd filled it up with so many new things and positive memories, and we really did have several good years there, just me and Harper. But you know, and I've never really gone into detail on the show about everything that happened, and I probably won't until I write my tell-all book for $7.99. You can buy it at the Family Dollar at the. There was some traumatic moments that were kind of thrust on us, you know, when you have those moments, it's like, oh my God, you know, it stains the area, it stains the room, I just remember I walked through the house at the very end, and I just said, you know, it was almost like a little prayer of like, you know, this is a great house, you know, please, you know, any of the negativity that's in here, if there is anything. And I feel like all that lifted, you know, once it was just me and Harp, but, yeah. It was, you know, just like, you know, please, you know, be good for the new people, because this is a lovely home. And I'm happy to be moving out of it, but, there's just some weird emotions there, you know, when you go through in certain areas and such where things happen.
So I'm envisioning the scene in Carrie, the movie, when the house basically implodes on itself and sinks into the ground.
It was similar to that. It was very similar to that, actually. But it was more like an episode of Dateline than it was. So I always hope we're this close to having Keith Morrison talking about us. But we're here. We're good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter. It says, my name is Jamie, and I served as an avionics electrician in the United States Navy for about 4 years. During my training, I encountered some very creepy and unexplainable things to this day that baffles my mind. Before I go into detail, I'd like to say that my family has always been a bit more sensitive to the paranormal. I've encountered a lot of paranormal experiences. However, as I grew up and aged, I became more and more of a skeptic. I believed less and less, but my sensibility to odd and unexplainable things seemed to never escape me. These events happened in late 2012 when I was going through my naval job training. When in training, after basic, all naval personnel and are assigned to different schools depending on our job. I was in avionics, so I went to Pensacola, Florida to go through my avionics training. At this time, all women and men were in separate barracks, much like dorm rooms, but with very strict rules. It was the military, after all, and with being in the military, there was always strict structure. I was in the nicknamed Delta, also known as the female barracks. In each room, you would always have one roommate, but depending on what when your school or work was, you might have been in your room alone. Rumors would ensue that students and military personnel always rotating out of their rooms. Ghost stories, drama, the normal college experience. I was rather young at the time, just fresh out of high school. Anyway, to cut to the chase here, I had a friend. We will call her Liz. She lived on the second floor of the building. We'd always hang out, either in my dorm or hers. We were really close friends at the time, and we would always share stories or watch Ghost Hunters. Despite being a non-believer in the paranormal at the time, I enjoyed ghost shows for their horror and creepiness. I called it a guilty pleasure. Liz, however, claimed she had a sensitivity to spirits. Mother claimed the same, and at one point I thought I was too, but I was respectful despite my doubts. One weekend, and we were out off duty, close to Christmas time, I was preparing to visit my family for the holidays. I had bought a giant suitcase and decided to crash Liz's room before I went off on vacation. Liz claimed she had some issues with the spirit that would shake her bed at night, and it was really creeping her out. I don't remember exactly how I got to provoking the spirit, but I didn't believe it was there or wanted it to show itself. Bad idea. I demanded it to do something and doubted it was there or even existed. Again, bad idea. On the floor was my giant suitcase, all decked out in navy blue digital camo. When the spirit was provoked, my suitcase slid all the way across the room. Moved a good 3 feet by itself. Mind you, this thing was heavy. I had to carry it all the way back to our dorm building. I was astonished. I had seen things as a kid, but never saw poltergeist activity to this level. Needless to say, my friend was upset that I provoked it, and instantly, I started to apologize to the spirit. Thanked it for giving a sign. The spirit was never negative. It was a human spirit. That much I can tell you. There have been rumors that one of the naval students on either the second or third floor had committed suicide. We always chalked it up to just that, rumors. However, over several weeks, the spirit would make itself known to my friend in positive ways, just to let us know that they were there. I could never escape my visions of the spirit or the sense that she was watching and always there. Looking after my friend Liz, because they were similar in some way, the spirit was really attached to my friend and showed itself through poltergeist activity with phenomena that defied physics. Liz and I always kept these things to ourselves. Her other roommate never experienced any activity. It always happened when it was just us in the room or when Liz was alone. Liz claimed her bed shook again when her alarm didn't go off to wake her up for class. My friend believed that the spirit woke her up so she wouldn't get in trouble. Not only did the suitcase move, but my friend's phone messed up. It was new and got ghostly text messages from non-existent numbers. It never displayed the number, and you couldn't even access the text message. But her charger popped out of the wall, practically thrown There was no force to act on it. I always felt like the spirit was the girl who committed suicide, and maybe those rumors had some truth to them. I always pictured the woman with dark, curly, short hair, freckled with tannish skin. I can't say who she was or how she died, but I could just sense her strongly around my friend. When I look back, I'm thankful for the weekends. I like to believe the spirit of this woman stuck around us because she was liking our company. She enjoyed listening and just wanted us to know that she was there. I never felt that she was malicious, more so protective and watching over us, watching over my friend at the time, who was honestly the most honorable comrade I'd ever had. Liz and I have moved on. We're no longer in contact, but I'm thankful for her friendship and memories. Both she and the spirits helped me believe again in the afterlife, something that still affects me to this day. Thoughts on that?
You know, just from the outside, it seems like Liz's energy may have been feeding a lot of that. I'm not saying that she was doing it herself, but I think that she probably had the type of energy that a spirit or an energy itself would probably cling to and be okay with communicating with and such like that. It's amazing. I think it'd be interesting if you could get past the government and actually investigate different bases, military bases here in America and abroad, just how much paranormal stuff actually happens at these locations. I bet it's astounding to find out how much actually does take place.
I would imagine so, from the housing to the barracks to all of it, just the amount of emotions that, you know, especially ones that have been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like we were talking about with the closet type thing that Harper had, there's a lot of emotions that would go into having someone who's serving, especially if someone is in combat and maybe your family is back on the base. It would be a lot. But thank you for sharing.
Basic training, all that kind of stuff. It's just a crazy thing to be involved with and very different from the outside world. So I bet it's crazy in those places.
I bet. I would certainly agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. If you like the show, become a supporter through Apple Podcasts. Get access to all of our episodes ad-free. You can also check it out through patreon.com/RealGhostStories. We do appreciate that. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.